sails. But I have a friend who watches over me. When the breeze turns into a gale, I know the master of
this time, if you have children 5 years old to 10 years old and like for them to participate in our junior church program, they can be dismissed this time, this door to my right.
Thank you, Rita. I appreciate that. Once again, it is certainly good to have everybody in our service this morning. We are glad that you're here. Would you please stand with me, if you would, and turn in the scripture this morning, if you would, to Hebrews chapter number 2. And I'm going to begin to read in verse number 1. Follow along with me, if you would, please, as I read from the scripture. If you need a copy of God's word, there is one on the seat in front of you. Please use that. And we just ask that you return it so someone will have it next time. Hebrews chapter 2, verse number 1. Therefore, we ought to give more excellent heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. Would you pray with me, please? Heavenly Father, as we continue in an attitude of worship this morning, I pray, dear God, that you might just speak through me this morning, that the Holy Spirit would have full reign. Dear God, that you would help me to say the things that need to be said, and Lord, to stay away from the things that don't need to be. And Lord, that you would just help us as we look at your word this morning, that you might help me to communicate what it is that you have for those folks who are here today. Lord, if there's anybody lost within the sound of my voice, may they come to know Jesus today as Lord and Savior. We ask this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Thank you very much, and be seated if you would please. I'm starting a new series today entitled Drifting. Drifting. What does it mean to drift? Two young men were fishing above a dam on a river near their hometown. As they were concentrating on catching fish, they were unaware that they had drifted until they were not far from the water flowing over the dam. When they realized their situation, the current near the dam had become too powerful for them to keep their boat from going over. Below the dam, the water was dashing with strong force over great boulders and through crevices in the rocks. Caught by the swirling waters under the rocks, they never came to the surface. After days of relentless searching, the divers finally found one body, and then two or three days later, the other. The danger of drifting is not limited to the physical realm. In Hebrews chapter 2 and verse number 1, we read these words, "Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip." We find a warning against drifting. Sadly, this morning, it is not uncommon for Christians to drift toward destruction. And so this morning's message will be designed to be a message of warning, lest we slip or drift away from the things of the Lord. Now, you notice there in chapter number 2, it starts with the word therefore. The reason that it starts with that word is because the writer, and I believe it is the Apostle Paul, is linking the closing remarks of chapter 1 to the beginning remarks of chapter number 2. Notice what it says there in chapter 1 in verse number 10. "And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thy hands. They, the works of God's hands, shall perish, but thou remainest, and they shall wax old as doth a garment. And as a vesture shalt thou fold them, and they shall be changed, but thou art the same, thy years shall fail not. But to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? And are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be the heirs of salvation?" Who are the heirs of salvation? We are. Every person who has placed their trust in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior is an heir to the salvation that Jesus made possible. The Apostle Paul tells us that angels are ministering agents. They minister to all the believers. Chapter 2, "Therefore, we ought to give more earnest heed to the things which we have heard," that is the preaching of the Word of God. That is the only thing that is valid in life. It is the only thing that is dependable. It is the only thing that is steadfast. It is the only thing that is unmovable, unwavering, unchanging, is the timeless Word of God. And so the writer tells us that we need to take heed. We need to watch. We need to listen. We need to pay attention to what it is that the Word of God is teaching us, because it can help us to avoid disaster. So I want to give you, in the first part of the series this morning, I want to give you things that we should know about drifting. That is point number one in our outline this morning. Things that we should know about drifting away from the Lord, or letting those things slip which we have learned and have been told by the Word of God. First of all, drifting requires no effort. Drifting requires no effort. What do I have to do to drift? Not a thing in the world. Just be careless and carefree, and just, you know, let the world go by and absolutely do nothing. And we will drift away from the things that we have heard from the Word of God. And so that is the first thing that we have to be careful of, that we do not drift away from the Lord, because it requires absolutely no effort whatsoever. Let me help you to understand this morning, child of God. If you are going to engage Jesus Christ by faith, that is going to have to be followed by action. Faith requires action. Faith requires that we take God at His promises, relying totally upon Him. And so faith is proactive this morning. And so we have to understand that, and we have to know that. So drifting requires no effort whatsoever. If you're on a boat, just stop rowing or tracking against the wind, and you will begin to drift. Now, I don't know how many of you have ever been maybe on a small craft, on a lake, or possibly a large river, or maybe or on the ocean. It's amazing that when you're in a circumstance like that, you can become preoccupied with what is going on, just like the story of these boys who were concentrating on fishing and forgot to pay attention to where they were. Because drifting is a natural phenomenon. In your spiritual life, if you do not act by faith, if you do not move forward in faith, the natural consequence is that you will begin to drift away from the Lord. So faith is very proactive. You say, when does that end? It ends the very moment that you take your last breath upon the face of this earth. Because as long as you are in this body, you are going to have to live by faith. You are going to have to be proactive. If using the analogy of a boat, you're going to have to be rowing. You're going to have to be paying attention to where you are. Because when you get out on that water of life, that sea of life, if you're not careful, you will drift away from land. If you've ever been on an inner tube out on a lake, and you're busy and you're playing, and before you know it, you are yards away from the shoreline. And you think, how could that have happened? It happened because the current is pulling you away from the shore. My wife and I had the opportunity to be in Hawaii. We were with our daughter Jennifer after her open heart surgery that she had. And at the time, she worked for Citibank, and they came out with a promotion that family members could get a discounted flight to get to Hawaii, and we'd never been there. And so we thought that that might be good for her and her healing process to be able to get away, and we did that, and we went to the island of Oahu. We had never been there. This was, I believe, 1999. And so we were there, and we were out on a morning, and we were enjoying the the beauty of the ocean. And we were in a cove there on the south end of the east of Waikiki, and over in the area of Diamond Head. And we were enjoying the beauty of the water. And my daughter and I decided to get into the ocean in this cove. And we no sooner stepped into the water, and whoom, as the wave came in, it splashed on the shore, but then it pulled us away from the shore. And we found ourselves struggling and fighting to get back to the shoreline, because that is how quickly you can be overpowered by water. So we must continue to oar. We must continue to exercise our faith. The same is true for the Christian, and that is why we're told that we must give the more earnest heed. We have to pay attention to what is happening spiritually, because if we are not careful, we will begin to drift away from where God wants us to be. The next thing that we need to understand is that drifting is an unconscious process. Drifting is an unconscious process. It is possible to drift unaware. You don't have to think about it. It just happens. It is a natural process. In a boat, undercurrents are often unnoticeable from the surface. If you've ever been in a river over your head, you'll notice that there's a strong current underneath you that is not necessarily on the surface, that pulls you. And so it is an unconscious process. For those of you who have ever flown, you might not be aware that the wind or gravitational forces can move a plane without you even realizing it. And that's why commercial aircraft require that there be a navigator on board. You have the pilot who flies the plane, but then you have a navigator who charts the course and watches the navigation equipment so that they can keep you on course so that you'll get to the right destination. The same is true when you're crossing the ocean. I remember it was rather humorous back in 1986. The nation celebrated the 100th anniversary of the Statue of Liberty. And there were countries from around the world that sent vessels to the United States for the 100th anniversary, the 100th birthday of the celebration. And you remember, those of you who were alive in those days, you remember the enormous fireworks display they had. It was incredible. It was beautiful. And they had bands that were playing patriotic music, and it was phenomenal what went on. And guess who it was, what country it was, whose vessel showed up 2 days after the celebration? The nation of Poland. Somebody was not paying attention to get them to where they needed to be. And so, in the spiritual realm, many Christians have slowly drifted away. They have drifted off course. They started out being excited about the things of the Lord. They started out serving Jesus. They started out living for Jesus. But before they knew it, I mean, it started so innocently in the beginning. They were so faithful to the house of God. And then it came to the point where they said, well, you know, we really can't take Wednesday out of our schedule. And so they started missing Wednesday night. And then all of a sudden, Sunday night was not so important. And then all of a sudden, Sunday school was not so important. And then all of a sudden, well, do we really have to be to church every Sunday? And slowly people drift away from their service to the Lord, their commitment to God, and the things that have helped them to grow spiritually. But Christians are not unique in this situation. This morning, many churches have gradually drifted into error. Many churches today are not preaching the gospel. Many churches in America today have just become a social institution. It's just to get together, just to talk to one another and those kinds of things. There's no vision. There's no mission program. There's no effort to win the lost around the world. There's no effort to win the lost in their own cities. They have grown cold and indifferent. And it all started because they drifted away from the things that were important, the things that were necessary. So they have drifted into error. And now, in many a church today, you're lucky if they even open the Bible. Oh, they might talk about good things. They might try to accomplish good works. But do they really preach the Word of God? How did it start? It started by drifting away from the teachings of the Word of God. One day they find themselves far removed from the Scripture. And just as John indicated of the seven churches of the book of Revelation, some have left their first love. Some have gone off into other areas of ministry. The main thing is no longer the main thing. The Word of God is no longer the main thing. And they have drifted away from the Lord. Something else that we should know about drifting. We never drift upstream or against the current or tide. Let me repeat that. We never drift upstream or against the tide. Faithful to the Lord, faithfulness to the Lord is like rowing upstream. It takes effort. And I am sorry to have to tell you, but to live the Christian life is going to require effort on your part. The Bible tells us how to grow spiritually. Study God's Word. That does not happen naturally. We must take the initiative. We must take the time in the study of God's Word. That is why devotionals are so important. That is why prayer time is so important, because it keeps us where we need to be in relationship to our Lord. The Bible says that we must constantly be adding to our faith. Go to 2 Peter this morning, chapter number 1. 2 Peter chapter number 1. And I want to look at verse number 5 this morning. For those of you who are in Sunday school this morning, this is going to be a little bit of repetition for you, but repetition is good. When Brother Kennedy mentioned this morning to turn to 2 Peter chapter 1, I said, uh-oh. He's going to preach my message. And then he read through verse number 4, and I thought, whew, dodge that bullet. And then he jumped to verse number 8. I thought, good. And then he came back later, and he started right at verse number 5. Look at it there. And beside this, giving all diligence or care, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. Folks, living the Christianity, the life of a Christian is work. It takes effort. We must be engaged. We must be rowing. We must be involved in the process. And so our Christian life, our Christian experience, our Christian walk does not stop with faith. Peter says, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. And then when you get that conquered, add to your virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity or love. Notice what it says in verse number 8, for if these things be in you and abound. You see the process here? If these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in knowledge of your Lord, of our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you want to know this morning why some Christians never mature? Do you want to know this morning why some Christians never grow? Because they do not continue the process of spiritual growth. They are not rowing against the current. They are not rowing against the downward stream. They are just going along for the ride. They think that everything just, you know, comes into the mind of the Christian just, you know, with no effort whatsoever. No, you've got to be engaged. You have to be part of the process. And for people who just come to Jesus and ask Jesus to come into their heart and they never grow spiritually, Peter is telling them why they are not growing. Because he says they are to add to their faith virtue and to virtue knowledge. The Christian life never stops. It is proactive. It is being engaged. It takes effort to grow spiritually. And so we need to understand that this morning. We must continue to grow. 2 Peter chapter 2 this time, or chapter 3 rather, and verse number 18. Notice what else Peter writes here. He says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Let me help you to understand something this morning, child of God. Jesus will save you if you will invite Him into your heart by faith. He will do that. But your growth, your spiritual maturity is up to you. You determine what kind of a walk that you're going to have with the Lord. You make the decision. What kind of Christian am I going to be? I made a statement a few weeks ago. What kind of church would Berean Baptist Church be if every church member was just like me? And that's something we need to think about. That's something we need to ingest. That is something we need to mill over and we need to process in our life. What kind of church would Berean Baptist be if every church member were just like me? Now, it is interesting to me that some Christians, and they call themselves Christian, think that somehow everybody else in the church is supposed to tithe but them. Isn't that interesting? In other words, they want you to tithe so that they can receive something, but they're not. For me, oh, that is not for me. No, 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 no. That is a command to every child of God. You see, all of us are to be involved in the work of the Lord. All of us are to be involved in building our faith, and tithing is one of those opportunities for us to grow our faith, to build our faith. There is no such thing as a free lunch. Now, let me help you to understand something. When you come to Jesus, you might come to Him out of poverty. But if you stay in poverty, that's on you. That's not on Jesus. You understand what I'm saying? Because you have a responsibility to grow. You are to add to the faith virtue and to virtue knowledge, all these different things. And let me help you to understand something. I was not born with a silver spoon in my mouth, just in case you're wondering. I came out of poverty. But I found out pretty quick I didn't have to stay there. I found out if I applied myself. I found out if I worked hard. I found out if I was honest with God and I gave him what belonged to him, that God would increase me. God would grow me. God would bless me. Because his promises are not just to a select few. The promises of the Word of God are not just to the preacher. You know, I mean, I think everybody just, you know, kind of has the mentality that, you know, God blesses those that are in ministry. Let me help you to understand something. If you're a child of God, everybody's supposed to be in ministry. We're all part of this process. And it's just, you know, there's no big shot. There's no little shot. God will bless all those who will be a blessing. Jesus said, give and it shall be given unto you. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom. That includes poor people. That includes people who'd have nothing. You say, how can I give when I have nothing? Well, look at the story in the Bible of the lady who gathered sticks and had just enough meal to provide one more. She had just enough meal in the barrel, just enough oil in the cruse. And they gathered sticks, her and her son. They were going to fix their last meal, and they were going to die. That was it. Now, I doubt very seriously in the 21st century that any of us have ever been in that situation. But God sent a prophet, Elijah. And you know what that sorry puke did? He said, ma'am, fix me a meal first. That proves he was a Baptist. Right then and there. That just proves that nails it right on the head. He was a Baptist from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. Why was he saying that? Why did God send him to a widow woman who's about to fix her last meal? Because she needed to trust the Lord. And the evidence of her trust was to follow the instructions of the prophet. Fix me first. And that's what she did. And she went back day, and not only did Elijah eat, she ate, her son ate. And day after day after day after day after day after day after day for 3 solid years, she went back and there was just enough meal to make one more cake, just enough oil to make one more cake. And the 3 of them survived because God miraculously delivered them all from destruction. Now, there's no excuse. There's no excuse. I know that God can lift us out of our circumstances. I have lived that. Now, we come to the Lord, we might come to Him destitute, but we don't have to stay that way. It can change. It'll never change as long as we don't learn to put God first. You see, faith is action. Faith is action. Trusting the Lord, putting Him first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Faithfulness. Faithfulness. The moment that we stop growing, we start going backwards or downwards. So there is never a place in our spiritual life where we can ever say, I've learned it all. I've learned as much as I can. I know everything. No, that's the wrong attitude. We continue to grow. I don't care how old we are. I don't care how long we've been a Christian. We need to continue to grow. Because, and going back to 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 5, there's a list of things there for us to work on. And so we keep adding. We keep adding. We keep growing. We keep maturing because God is not done with us yet. Something else we need to know about drifting. The speed downstream, the further we go, increases. Let me repeat that. The speed downstream, the further we go, increases. The dangers increase with the speed of the drift. I mean, sometimes we can just be totally oblivious to what is going on, and we don't even notice how far we have drifted from the Lord. Folks, when we can hear the noise of the waterfall, it's already too late. When we hear the noise of the waterfall, it is already too late. When we lose sight of land, it is more difficult to discern that we are drifting. I mean, that can be a frightening thing. I've been out there on the water, and all of a sudden, you know, you're just busy playing, you're busy having fun, and then you look off and the shore is way off in the distance. Can you imagine if you drifted far enough away that you're so far away that you can't even see the shoreline anymore? What do you do? What do you do? Don't let it get to that point. Stay engaged. Continue to do the things that the Lord would help you to do. As we move farther and farther from the Lord, we care less and less about what we do. You remember what I talked about? Sometimes it's easy just to say, well, you know, I'm just not going to go to church tonight. And we continue in that regard. Wednesday nights are no longer important. Sunday nights are no longer important. Sunday school is no longer important. Do I really have to go to church every week? And then all of a sudden, before we realize it, we're back engaged doing some of the things that we used to do before we were saved. Why? Because we have drifted. We have drifted. We have drifted. We have drifted from the things of Almighty God. Next, if we continue to drift away from the Lord, it is dangerous to others. Listen to what I'm saying. If we continue to drift away from the Lord, it becomes dangerous to others. A ship just drifting is a hazard to all other vessels at sea. A ship that is just drifting is a hazard to all other vessels at sea. Understand, you are not an island. People are watching you. And when people begin to see you drift, that has an influence on them. I mean, I'm talking about Sunday school teachers who no longer teach Sunday school. I'm talking about choir members who have dropped out of the choir. I'm talking about people who were engaged and proactive in the things of the Lord, and somehow we've gotten so callous that it's no longer important to us. And maybe younger eyes see what we're doing, and then they want to follow in our footsteps. Do you remember Peter? The Lord had been crucified. And one morning, Peter stands up and he says, boys, I'm going fishing. I'm just going fishing. How did the others respond? We're going to go with you. You see, Peter didn't backslide alone. He took everybody with him. It's dangerous to others. Parents who are just drifting will soon lose golden opportunities to teach their children. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse number 6. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse number 6. The writer of Proverbs write, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. What's one of our main responsibilities as a parent is to train our children in the way they should go. There is a way to live. There is a way to honor our God and our country. There is a way to do things right. God will reward those who are faithful to Him. God will chastise those who go away from Him. And so we have the responsibility, parent, to train our children. That is our responsibility. But the problem is that many are tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine. Look to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 14 for just a moment, if you would, please. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 14. That we henceforth be no more children. You see, there's a time for us to act like a child. But then there's a time for us to grow up. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. If you have not figured this out yet, there are people in this world who are looking for an opportunity to deceive you, to take what you own. That's why you get all those marketing calls on your telephone all the time. They are trying to separate you from your money. They have crafty devices. They are going to help you. I get calls all the time. We want to help you. Sure you do. I know you. Of course, your motives are just wonderful. I know that they are. How much is this going to cost me? They began to stutter and to stammer. Because there are those who are cunning, they are crafty, and they lie in wait to deceive you. And so if we're not rooted in the Word of God, if we're not living for God, we're going to fall for their devices. Lastly, for those who are not paying attention, if we don't walk by faith, it will end in shipwreck. A boat adrift will either crash on the rocks or it ultimately will go over the falls. A boat adrift will eventually crash on the rocks or it will go over the falls. For those who drift spiritually through their own neglect, there shall be no escape from a just punishment. Let's go back to where we started. Hebrews chapter 2, verse number 1. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape? How shall we escape? Now, you remember the word that the angels took to Sodom and Gomorrah? You remember that in the scripture in the book of Genesis? And the Lord warned Lot through the angels to get out of the city. And there were people who mocked Lot. There were his own sons-in-law would not listen to his advice. They wanted their sin. They would not let go of it. Lot left with his wife and his two daughters. His wife looked back after she was told not to. She turned to a pillar of salt. There is always consequences for disobeying the word of God. God destroyed the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah because they would not listen. Now listen to me. If the word of angels is steadfast, how much more the God of heaven? Notice what he says. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord as and was confirmed to us by them that heard him. Now, we can dismiss the Word of God. We can dismiss the preacher. We can dismiss the things that he says at our own peril. Because Paul wrote, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Jesus saved us so that we could go to heaven. Yes, he did. But he did not save us so that we could just live any lifestyle we feel like living. And God can take us out at any moment that we are not growing and we are not serving him. You say, Brother Don, what do I do if I'm drifting away? I'll tell you what to do. Grab the lifeline. Grab Jesus this morning, because he's throwing the lifeline. He's throwing the lifeline to salvation for all those who are unrepentant. For all those who need salvation, Jesus is throwing out the lifeline. Take a hold of the lifeline of Jesus. Invite Jesus into your heart. If you're a Christian this morning and you've drifted away from the things of God, that same lifeline that saved your soul will keep you safe. Reach out for Jesus this morning. Come home to him. Be proactive in your faith. Don't just drift with the tide. Don't just drift away from God with the current. Reach out for the lifeline, and Jesus will help you. Jesus will save you. He will help you to overcome that circumstance in your life. Whatever it is, if you put your hope and your trust in him. Heavenly Father, help us today. Help us, Lord, not to be negligent of our salvation. Help us, Lord, not to take it for granted. Help us not to just casually drift away from the things of your word. Help us to stay engaged. Help us to add to our faith virtue and to our virtue knowledge. Help us to grow. Help us to continue to move forward. Help us to do more, not less, for you. We ask these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Would you